Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Webber at StuWeb.com, and it is Friday, July the 3rd, 2020. And I'll tell you, I had a dream, a vision, whatever you want to call it. I saw a big revolution happen tomorrow, and it'd be really a nice thought, afterthought to have. Now, today we're going to have a lot of discussion of a lot of different area, and we're going to spend about an hour with you if you want to listen. And I have three professors on. I have Professor James Spetzer, I have Professor Joel, and Professor Paul. And I call Professor Joel because they probably have doctrines up the rear end of education pertaining to this country and the Constitution, just like Professor James Spetzer, who is now in the category of a whistleblower over exposing Sandy Hook. As far as I'm concerned, he should have the protection of a whistleblower, and he doesn't. Now, I have interesting conversations going to happen today, but that said, I'm going to give you punks warning that think that your cyber terrorist cyber attacking my website. You are closed down, you know it. I got a couple more reports for the people to see. Government, Area 50, or Papoose Lake, or excuse me, Utah, alien base, NSA base. And I got a couple of reports for that coming up. And I'll give warning to the punks following me that listen, you're Division Number 5 in Kansas City. Don't attempt to play the game that was played on Wednesday. If it's played again, I'm going to call a card on you. With that said, Jim Spetzer, you want to lead? And what's the opening for the day?
Sure, Stu. I got three important stories for you. Judge Andrew Napolitano has stated federal and state government do not have the authority to mandate wearing a face mask. Prominent Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden have suggested there should be a federal mandate. What Napolitano has observed is the federal government can't do it because the federal government is not charged with public health or public safety. That's an area that's left to the states. And that raises whether the state could do it. And the answer, again, turns out to be no. If a person is known to be contagious, they could require that person to be quarantined and wear a mask. But other than that, the state cannot interfere with a person's freedom of movement or freedom to wear or not wear a mask. So the government's authority is really quite limited here, no matter how aggressive the pandemic might be. He has stated that they could require masks on state property, but otherwise they would have no authority. That's the first story. Second, a new hydroxychloroquine study has vindicated President Trump and ought to end Dr. Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci's career in medicine. This was a study conducted by the Henry Ford Health System, which revealed that hydroxychloroquine successfully lowered the death rate among hospitalized COVID-19 patients by a significant margin. It cut the mortality rate of the victims in half. We've had other studies, too, I've reported before, of greater success, yet where Anthony Fauci had to have known at least since 2005 that hydroxychloroquine is a virtual miracle drug against the coronavirus because of an article published in the journal Virology by the National Institutes of Health, where he is a director, that showed that hydroxychloroquine was virtually 100% successful, both as a cure if you already have the disease and as a preventative if you don't. So it's like a miracle drug. Fauci has talked it down, and that's led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, meaning nobody had to die, but for Fauci spreading false information deliberately to the American people. That's the second.
I want to add something real quick to that. Tonic water, folks, has the quinine in it. And this is very interesting, Jim, but I didn't know this until this past week. My father's in a nursing home, and for over 40 days now, they've been given a shot a day of tonic water to all the patients and the nurses, and everybody comes in there has to take it.
Yep.
That's in the health department in Missouri.
Why, gin and tonic is my favorite drink, Stu.
Yeah.
I recommend Tanqueray with Canada Tanqueray with Canada Dry for the best result. Here's a third story. The man who correctly predicted President Trump's 2016 win predicts President Trump has a 91% chance of being reelected in 2020. This is Professor Helmut Norpod of Stony Brook told Lou Dobbs that President Trump had an 87% chance of winning the 2016 election. Now he's gone public with his prediction that Trump now has a 91% expectation of winning the 2020 election. He uses a model that tracks cyclic movements in American presidential elections. It goes back to 1828 when popular voting became widespread and the two-party system took hold. Over nearly two centuries, American presidential elections have exhibited a distinct cycle. It's not the pattern associated with partisan realignments that might last 30 years or so, but a shorter cycle that relates to party control of the White House. I think this is very significant because Anthony Fauci, the whole coronavirus phenomenon, just like Russiagate, just like Ukrainegate, just like the attempted impeachment, just like the Chinagate with John Bolton claiming China was attempting to help Trump. And now with the Black Lives rioting and looting, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, the paramilitary arm of the Democratic Party, if they think destroying the American economy and rioting and looting is going to get Joe Biden elected president, that is so ridiculous, when in fact we all can tell Joe Biden is brain damaged. He's cognitively incompetent. In fact, there's some suspicion that they may pull a Manchurian candidate to take out Biden. So necessarily he would have to be replaced and hope that the sympathy thereby generated will help them to succeed. I'll tell you, even if they go that far, it ain't going to work.
Now, I want to add about Joe Biden for a minute so everybody really understands. This guy got compromised years ago. He was a congressman or senator, whatever it was. And all of a sudden his wife, and I believe it was his son, were killed in a car crash, rollover. Typical CIA hit. Either it's done behind the ear, bam, Mossad CIA hit. And, oh, he didn't kill himself, so he shot himself in the mouth because he had a headache from shooting himself behind the ear. That's called suicide. The second is called car crashes, suicide. Always a rollover. That's what happened to his wife and his son. He got compromised from that point on, folks. Then later on, he got payments, and all of a sudden he realized he had to play ball. He became a total stooge over the past 30, 40 years for these people. Look at what he did when he was in the vice president underneath Obama. What did he do? Not a frigid thing for any American. That said, Joel, I want you to add something. Because Jim brought up, and I want you to bring up just on the Black Lives Matter. I'd like for you to throw out some numbers that are statistics and some of these events.
Oh, you want the statistics? All right. This comes from law enforcement. These are from 2012 until 2015. There were over 550,000 black assaults on white. In the same period of time, there were 56,000 white-on-black assaults. So we see a contradiction here of where you have with Black Lives Matter and with other political statements that there is this systemic racism, and it is actually creating great bodily harm. We can see from the statistics that that is not true. Now, here is the kicker. The other statistic is when these riots happen, particularly near the black neighborhoods, only 17% of the blacks participate. What does that tell you? That tells you that there is some other force that is acting on the black community and then doing something about it.
What you meant to say is only 17% of those participating are black.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
And so, what is this external force? Well, we have it very easily stated. Black Lives Matter is a creation of open society and the endowment fund headed by George Soros, who has spent millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to create this situation in which you have racial conflict. So there you have it.
And he's funding not only Black Lives Matter group, but he is also funding Antifa, I think is how it's pronounced.
Antifa.
But anyway, he's funding them. But they're the violent ones, folks. You'll see a lot of white people out there with masks on doing this violence. A lot of them. There's quite a few videos. Matter of fact, Kansas City, I think, is offering a reward to the police department for four faces that were doing the robbing and looting down on the plaza, okay, when it first happened, when they had a little riot here. Now, most of these punks have been removed from the streets, or a lot of them, but some of them are still active and, like, taking on a bridge and shooting at people and doing crazy stuff. This is them. They're trying to cause chaos. You can see the agenda every week, folks. Watch Mike Wallace, Mossad agent. Watch what he says. He sets the agenda. The people that I became friends with, locked up with, over 2,000 Iran-Contra players and 500 federal agents trying to bust many of the same people for that 10 and a half months they had me locked up at. There was the point. They taught me one thing. What's Sunday morning? Because they were all glued to the TV room on Sunday morning to see what the agenda was. And that's what I learned. What was the agenda? Oh, racial, white, black. Oh, Joe Biden's beating Trump 53-39. And what's the other? He's got to bring on his hoops, but he put on a Black Lives Matter guy. This was what was interesting from New York. He says, oh, this was a video of you 2 years ago preaching Jesus Christ and stuff and that we need to make change. And he says, now you're calling for him to go out in the streets and burn down the neighborhoods. He says, no. He said, that isn't what I meant. He said, we need change. We got to remove the politicians to make change. Put good ones in that will do what we tell them to do, is what he said.
Also, there's one more statistic that I left out that's very important. A police officer is 17 times greater to be attacked by a black man than for a police officer to attack a black man. So, in other words, the systemic racism in police departments just isn't so. 17 times greater of a black man to attack a police officer.
Now, Jim.
Any comments?
Jim, or Professor Paul, you got any comments?
Yes, Jim, thanks for your opening because it's uncanny what you talked about, because I wanted to open as well with a experience that I had two nights ago, a glimpse of what I see as the future. I live in a very interesting area, considered very safe, Tony area, and I went to the grocery store about 7 o'clock, or actually a little bit after 7 o'clock, and there were about 45 shoppers in the store, and so I would have been 46. Everybody in the store was wearing a mask. So I'm the only person not wearing a mask. I am the only person that is actually engaging and interacting with people. A woman picked up a Coke carton and the can spilled out, and I said, you know, engaged and said that, that could have happened to me. That should happen to me. And, you know, it was the only human interaction in 30 minutes. The rest of the people, their faces are covered with masks or they got these shields on. And it's dystopian. And I understand from a report in Kansas that as of today, everyone now is required by the state of Kansas to wear a mask in an indoor environment.
That's true. I got killed on the local news here in Kansas City. Incorrect, Paul.
I think Los Angeles, of course, the bellwether states, most of us that are a little long in the tooth, remember there are five bellwether states. There's California, there's Colorado, there's New York, there's Florida, and there's Texas. And if things happen there, we could expect those things to happen where we are as well. Now, of course, things are far more instantaneous. But that's so interesting, Jim, that you mentioned that Judge Napolitano says it's not in the federal purview, and the states cannot constitutionally do it. And yet you have this mindless, this fear-based compliance. And so I'm observing this. And then I did watch a little bit of TV, and I don't have cable TV, and so I have to watch it somewhere else. And they did this propaganda piece on how effective masks are. And so they use this petri dish, and they do four different things with a person wearing a mask, and then four when a person does the things without the mask, and they are singing, coughing, sneezing, and laughing. And they show the petri dish where the person is wearing a mask and a not, and then they're trying to demonstrate how all these masks just protect you from so much. Well, of course, you know, the person watching this is thinking, oh, this is definitive. But they're not dealing with the so-called coronavirus. They're simply dealing with saliva or mucus. And a lot of that saliva and mucus is how we develop healthy immune systems. So it's we're really up against a huge propaganda effort. And I think there's two agendas and maybe three agendas this weekend. We got the continuing black-white divide conquer, and then we've got the dividing corona virus where, oh, we opened too soon, and now we're going to divide people between those who wear masks and those who don't. And then finally, we've got President Donald Trump, and he's another chaos president. He's another divider. And so I think those three things are going to dominate this weekend. And now I turn it back to you guys.
Jim?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. We also have, of course, the blockbuster development of Ghislaine Maxwell, who was Jeffrey Epstein's procurer, having been released, arrested now in New Hampshire. And she, of course, was the key player in securing young underage girls to participate in sexual encounters with prominent politicians. This all appears to have been a very elaborate Mossad honey trap for prominent American officials and experts, including Bill Clinton. Hillary, no doubt, was involved, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, a host of others, where Orgy Island, as it was known in the Caribbean, was loaded with audio and video equipment. It appears that she is going to name names. This is going to be very significant. And a lot of prominent Democrats have been worried where this provided Trump's threat to drain the swamp is going to shift into high gear with her compliance, her complicity, her testimony. It's going to be the biggest political scandal of our time.
If she stays alive.
Yeah, well, they're gonna keep her alive too. I'm confident of that.
Remember, Epstein's judge died, suicided. One of the investigators in Epstein's case suicided, all within 10 days or whatever it was, a week, 10 days. That was during before Epstein got it. Now, I just, you know, these punks are capable. You know, I asked the question of the gal that was Chinese that happened to be on guard that night when Epstein died. How come she's living in a $7 million mansion in China? Or has a $7 million mansion in China? You have to look deeper into each case. Now, this case with her, I hope to God she gets in there. Because, you know, Jim, I can sit and pick off all the names you mentioned, like Chuckie Schumer. back to Boulder Properties Limited, tied to Silverado Savings Loan Finance, where they turned him upside down, where before he was a patriotic American, and they switched him on Boulder Properties, and this was back in, and Al Martin wrote about it in his book because he was involved with it. And Bill Alexander, the former congressman, he got nailed for trying to re-bring up Boulder Properties, and how Chucky and a whole bunch of them got blackmailed. And they put him in a financial bind of an investment in real estate that Milman and Mizell controlled in Neil Bush's Silverado, and that's where they got nailed. And he switched votes after that, and all of a sudden he turned a communist bastard. Now, folks, all you'd have to do is go back to about 1988, and I can hand the information. I think I even have it on my website about the Boulder Properties Limited and Chucky. Go back there. It's a reason for recall. It's a reason to arrest his ass. Okay? He took a bribe, and he switched. He turned to it. Get rid of him. I mean, we'd sit and pick off all these people, put them in jail. If we had an open court to do it in, or a real grand jury to do it in, and I got a grand jury demand, Mr. President Trump, that's never been answered, and a federal judge made a standing order. The U.S. attorney, if he doesn't do his job, Mr. Webb, I'll allow you to appear for a grand jury with your own attorney. I tried to do that, folks. Every time, they try to murder me. Now, we need a grand jury that actually is effective in this country and start picking off all these punks. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I missed that. Were you speaking to me?
Yeah, I said go ahead, pick it up from here, and you got the rest.
No. You're great. You got Joel and Paul here. Go for them.
Yeah, I want to interject something here because I think this is an important nexus for us to address. The agenda of the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell and what the potential outcome could be from the arrest and her testimony. I would like, really, Jim, your insight, your take, Stu, your take, and Joel, your take on what really is the agenda behind the arrest of Maxwell and her testimony. I'm just going to throw out something here, and I'm not saying I'm entirely right, but I think it fits a narrative that I've studied for a long time. And that is the Jesuits created communism. And we've been clearly infiltrated in our government by people with communist sentiments. And many of the defectors, and one can trust the defectors and the disinformation agents only so far because they are defectors and disinformation agents. But what they said is that they would turn Americans on each other. And, of course, we see that in the black and white. We see that on the mask, no mask. But at the bigger level here now, they said they were going to unleash a gray terror. And the gray terror would be they would gaslight all of us so we didn't know what was true. And then finally, it would culminate in an overture. And they would expose all of the criminality across the board. Our leaders would be exposed for who they are. All of the criminality and corruption will be exposed, which then, in effect, creates a situation where people don't believe in their institutions, functioning civil society, rule of law. And that's the direction I think this is going. And I think if all of this does come out, it is so explosive that it is it's just another log in the fire that is going to be the Civil War in America.
Nate, you want to comment?
Well, let me put this in here for everybody. Everybody thinks when they think of the word Civil War, they're thinking like the Civil War during the 1860s. But I do not think that the Civil War like that is going to be like that. I think the Civil War is going to be what they call asymmetrical warfare. And here is a perfect example. Some of the officials of Black Lives Matter and Antifa said, we are no longer going to just come to the ghetto and to the business section. We're going to come out to the white middle class, lower class, and upper class, and we are going to bring mayhem to you. Just recently, a man by the name of Mark McCloskey, who lived in a gated situation, gated community in St. Louis, heard a smashing of his gate, and out in front of his house were all of these Antifa people. The only thing that saved him was he had an AR-15. Now, these people were wearing bodily armor. They were carrying pistols. They were carrying clubs. And they were threatening him, yelling and screaming, where they were not just way over there, they were in his face. We are now seeing in Salt Lake City, Utah, where just the other day, a black SUV came up to a street corner where Antifa was located. They began harassing the black SUV. The guy slowly tried to escape. They shot at him through the window. That scared him. He took off. They chased him down the road, shooting at him. Now, this has happened twice.
I have those two videotapes you sent me, Joe, that I have up with this radio show up underneath of it, the events you just spoke of.
Yeah. And then you have a bunch of cars that were waiting in their turn at a stoplight. It was a stack. You see this young black thug walk up to the car with his back to you. He reaches around his waist, pulls out, points the gun in the car, and shoots a white man and his 10-year-old sister in the head, and then walks away. This just recently happened. Those are the things and how it's going to be done. Now, the D.C. of St. Louis is thinking about charging Mark McCloskey, who is a lawyer himself, with aggravated assault. What he did right is that he didn't point his rifle at anybody. But yet,
yeah, Joe, let's pick up on that real quickly, because what people need to understand is you got to be armed and locked and loaded, but you don't want to lift up your weapon, because once you lift up your weapon and direct that at someone, that means you're going to shoot. So I thought the guy handled it about as superbly as you could. So I just wanted to interject that.
Sure. What I would comment on that by saying, if you so choose to defend yourself with a firearm, number one, I would go get the training. Just buying the gun is not enough. And get really trained in the law of lethal force so that you don't end up in jail like the police officer in Atlanta where they tried to make an arrest. The black man took off with the taser, shot the police officer. At the same time, the police officer shot the black assailant. Now, that police officer is being charged with murder. So this is why it's important that if you so choose to defend yourself with a gun, just don't go buy a gun and say, it's going to take care of me. Don't do that. Go get the training. And there is a lot of schools that are relatively cheap that you can get your training. Anybody want any comments?
Jim Fetzer. Jim, are you still there?
Yeah. But I have another show shortly, Stu.
Okay,
so
you
I
got
just
the last report. Go ahead.
All this nonsense, it looks to me like they're the tip of the spear, that they're trying to be more provocative. But, Stu, as you well know, we have over 100 million armed Americans who aren't going to put up with this happy horse shit. And if they try to pull that stunt, they're not going to like the outcome. There's been an attempt to nullify the police. Minneapolis City Council has voted to disband the Minneapolis police force. They're going to make Minneapolis a magnet for criminals. Any sensible, reasonable person, including all the families in the suburbs, is looking aghast at all of these moves. If the Democrats wanted to perform a feat of self-immolation, in terms of the next election in November to guarantee Trump would be reelected, they're doing it. They're doing it now. And Antifa and Black Lives Matter are demonstrating the necessity for the ability to defend yourself. Gun sales are going through the roof. Everyone knows now that the Democrats' gun control agenda was a manifest absurdity. And frankly, I don't think they'll ever again be played over the Second Amendment.
Now, bringing the Second Amendment, I want to bring up one point to everybody. Ammo in America had a shelf life of 1 year, folks. If you got the old ammo sitting around, you better go fire it out there because it's probably not going to fire, okay? Get yourself new ammo now. We got 100 million Americans. Yes, Jim, we have a problem. It's an election coming up. It's called the coronavirus epidemic, which is bull, and it's all for what? It's to get a credit debit chip in the human body along with a DNA changer, and the nurses already proved that, and that's what this Fauci and this WHO organization and, excuse me, ladies, but female nurses calling Bill Gates, Needle Dick Gates, because he wants to put his needle on everybody. Now, I don't know why this guy, I don't know why Gates, I don't know why George Soros and others have not been arrested by the American people. It's time we take control. Now, one other thing. We have demonstrations that will continue, peaceful demonstrations on the streets because black people want change. And this is good because they're changing the police departments. We shouldn't dismantle them, just police oversight committees, and that's happened in a lot of cities since this has happened, since this began. We as patriots should be out there with signs to say, stop 5G. And reference your favorite website that talks about it. Stop HARP weather modification. Put your reference, the best site you can put on there, so people see it, so they write it down. Stop chemtrails. Make them understand that's dumping metal in your lungs along with 5G. You're fried, and they're doing it to everybody. I had a nurse on, double periods each month because of 5G in her neighborhood. They buried it in the streets in Bakersfield, and 100 women stopped their 2 periods each month for 10 months it had been going on. Her brain was shrinking. Blood was coming out of her ear because of the 5G cables. We need to stop this stuff, and we as patriots, 100 million of us, need to be hitting the streets with these demonstrators, on weekends in particular, with your sign out there. Stop whatever it is. No vaccinations. Mark of the beast. Credit debit with DNA changer. But we need to get involved. Only Jim, you got another show to do. You still there?
Say again.
I said that's what we need to do. As patriots, we need to get involved now on the streets with the other demonstrators with signs mentioning all these things. And we need to be prepared, 100 million of us, to arrest them if they come to chip us, if they come to steal our election. We need change, folks, and we, the people, can make the change. You any last comments, Jim Fetzer? I know you got
the other show. It's always a pleasure being with you and with Joel and with Paul. I'm very glad to have these opportunities, my friend, so...
And it's James.
I think the American people are learning how much they have been played in the past. And frankly, I don't think they're going to – I think they're waking up, Stu, and that's a key to getting a regaining control of our government. Thanks.
Yes. And Paul and Joel, we're going to continue the show here. And Jim Fetzer,
perfect.
Give out your website there.
Well, I got a new show, Jim the Conspiracy Guy, at jimtheconspiracyguy.com. It's called The Conspiracy Guy on Sundays from 8 to 10 Central. I've already done a half a dozen shows. You can find them all available there. This Sunday, I will be doing a show on Pizzagate, the American franchise of Pedogate. tying into this latest arrest of Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, the whole shebang. So I also have a blog at jamesfetzer.org, and I'm on Twitter at Jim Fetzer. Stu, I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Jim. And Paul, you want to pick it up or Joe from this point? Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, Jim, I know you got to sign off, and a quick anecdote on a connection between Stu's comment on George Soros and Ghislaine Maxwell. Allegedly, Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's father, was a double or triple agent between the KGB, Mossad, and MI6. And one of the things they wanted him to do was launder money either through for Israel or someone. And he said, I'm done with you guys. I've already paid my dues. And they said, no, you're not done. And Soros stepped forward and said, I'll launder the money. And Robert Maxwell then was killed. Now, of course, that is I'm third person on this. My primary source was Jeffrey Nyquist, J.R. Nyquist, who's especially studying Soviet Sino-U.S. relations. Anyway, just a quick anecdote. And thanks, Jim. We'll catch up with you later.
I think took off.
Yeah.
Joel, where are we going to pick up from here?
Well, if people really want to get in and understand about gasoline, and I've been saying this for over a couple of months now, take your time and go to limitedhangout.com, Whitney Webb, or go to mintpress.com/Whitney Webb. They have all of her writings. She is the one that has best explained who Jeffrey Epstein is, and it is a large organization, and it is so large that even Robert Maxwell himself was a cog in the wheel, but he was an important cog. Jeffrey Epstein, the same thing. Gasoline, the same thing. It is a very large organization, and if you really want to understand it, go read the Epstein writings by Whitney Webb, and that will explain it to you clearly.
I've had Jim Rothstein on, and I'll have him on soon again, probably. Now, Jim was a New York detective who busted the CIA and its Finders group, folks. That's where the Finders documents came from. There were all these trolls out there in the 1990s and 2000, and Ted Gunderson and the FBI Division Number 5 crowd that hit the Patriot community and infiltrated, just like they do on Facebook, et cetera, and with all the disinformation crap. But they were out there claiming that they released those reports. No, they did not. It was Jim Rothstein. And Jim tried to stop him, and he had the Finders. And they had kids in Washington, had them in tents, if you can believe that, making sexual favor to congressmen and senators that they needed to blackmail. And he found out, CIA says, oh, no, you aren't going to arrest these people or anything. They let them get away. I mean, this is how bad it is, folks, using kids to change politicians. I say we change the politicians. Go ahead, Joe.
I agree with you structurally and systemically, Stu. That is the answer. We got to replace everybody in leadership. Everybody in a position of authority in America has to go. Now, that is a pretty radical statement. And, of course, how do you do that? It is such a big task, because once you get into the interconnectedness of the military industrial intelligence complex, you realize what you're up against. It's hundreds, if not thousands, of years in the making. And in our position, for instance, we're just three people trying to do the right thing. And we got to be really careful about who we associate with, because one of the things I learned, you know, by the time I was 14 is, be real careful. Listen a lot more than you talk, because anything you join is going to be infiltrated, or likely is going to be controlled opposition. And I just throw that out there to both you guys to reflect upon, because you know, way back in 1977, I look at this picture of the Mandalay camp at Bohemian Grove. And I'm thinking, okay, this is the number one camp. I mean, if you're at Mandalay, you're at the top. And obviously there's so much connected to Bohemian Grove. You got human sacrifice, you got pedophilia, you got about every activity that's criminal going on all at once. And so I look at the picture and I see the Bechtel boys, Bechtel Sr. and Bechtel Jr. I assume that Bechtel Sr.'s long past. Bechtel Jr. may still be alive. You got the Raytheon guy. You got the Northrop Grumman guy. And, of course, then you got Jerry Ford and you got Heinz Kissinger, who I was told by a primary source that Heinz Kissinger is not 94 years old. He's closer to 114, which to me suggests he's a walk-in. He's no longer Heinz Kissinger. I mean, the guy is inhabited entirely by a fallen one. But once you understand the connections with the military industrial intelligence complex, it's really formidable to replace the people of power. You know, grassroots, you'd have to have a huge grassroots effort.
I can add a few things that people need to understand what you're talking about. As an example, Daddy Bush and Raytheon, which he owns and controls, and I believe the guy's still alive in Paraguay. I've heard that. Others have heard it. Joel's even heard it. But here's the point. Raytheon owns E-Systems of Dallas, Texas, of Kentucky. They got a base over there on a nuclear facility we have. Now, the one in E-Systems of Dallas is where they have the chips, mind control. As an example, let's take the satellite. Let's take the mind control. There was a black guy about 3 years ago left Kansas City and went to Tennessee and killed five cops. Now, I go and run his picture to see what he looks like. And there's a picture of the guy that tried to kill me in 2010 and the Rover standing next to him with their arms around each other. I'm going, oh, shit. It was the point. I called Otis Johnson up. I said, Otis, where did this fucker stop? In Dallas? Get chipped? He goes, you got it right, Stu. He says, you hit it right on the head. Stop. Got the chair at E-Systems. Now, E-Systems is what's called the Daddy Bush named it. Division 4 of the CIA, hit teams, killers. They bring everybody. Now, this is all illegal, and it's a defense contractor, Raytheon. E-Systems has what they call the West Star series of satellites that they've modified with the space shuttle and with the flying saucers, which I want to get into. People don't understand. They're out there. We have it. Here's the point. E-Systems learned how to take control of the voting machines. Everything went electronic. Everything went electronic by the 2000 time frame. Now, what I mean by that, as an example, in Missouri, instead of being an electronic machine, you punch a card. You go in, you flip your deal, you punch the card, and when you're all done, you come out, and what do they got? They pull the tab off the back of your card that you just punched, and they say, here. And you put it in a little machine that counts your votes. That's an electronic machine. That satellite called the West Star series of satellites hit the voting machines on voter day. That's how they changed the election. Wow. She was leading earlier, but now she's not leading the voting machine. West Star, Daddy Bush, New World Order, controlled by others, an attorney out of Fort Worth now. Okay, controls it for Daddy. Now, West Star is also known for killing people. For over 10 years, they've had the capability of what they call STONE, STONE-R technology, where they're able to zap you in your sleep, which they do most people at night because they are asleep in America. So they zap you in your house. There's 10 million people being zapped in America. I'm one of them. Otis Johnson, when he was NSA intelligence,
sat from his home and worked for 4 to 6 hour shifts as a brain think tank for the NSA that kept us safe at night. He was the one that said, "Stu, you're on the list." I said, "No shit," because they were knocking mercury fillings out of my teeth. I had a couple of them. I had to go to the dentist and have fillings put back in, but not mercury. But it was loosened it, and it causes you, what it does, it breaks down your immune system, and 3 to 5 years, you're most likely dead. Now, that's the technology that they're using against us. Where did all this technology come from? It came from the alien connection, and it's all tied now with an alien base and the NSA and the Mossad and everybody out of Israel all tied together at Bluffdale, Utah. Now, I put Otis Johnson on an airplane with General Flynn when I was working on a house down the street in Nebraska from him that he got me a contract on. I made a quick 50 in 6 months. That was nice. Now, here's the point. I put him on an airplane, and I recognized the general. He was the NSA. But the point was that when he came back, I said, "Where'd you go?" He said, "Bluffdale." I said, "No shit." I said, "Have you got a lot of computers?" He says, "Oh, Stu, don't tell anybody." But, no, he's dead now, so I'm saying it. 6 floors below ground of artificial intelligence. But he called them beyond computers. He said, "These are 6 floors of beyond computers underground." But he said, "Stu, you're right. They built an alien base on the south side." Because I saw them cutting a hole in 1994 or 5 going across I-70 where it ends at I-15. And right there is Richfield, Utah. And I saw them cutting a hole in the side on the north side of the highway as I'm coming west. I thought I'd been zapped by a cop. I'm cruising about 80 or 90 miles an hour in a 70. Nobody around, boo-doo-doo over these hills. And all of a sudden, wham, my windshield got hit with these lasers. Not knowing it was lasers, I thought it was cop flashing his lights in front of me. And wow, I'm shoving that thing way down to about 45 miles an hour, coming up over the hill, and it's hit me again. I'm being blinded. Finally, I get past it, and I see that they're cutting with a boring machine out the side. I came back there. I got out of there. I came back through there, and I intentionally crossed the freeway going the other way, came back west, and I'm pulling up to this park for your rest stop, restaurants. And there was the hole, but you couldn't see it. They'd already made it to a sliding gate, looked like part of the mountain. But there was all the gravel from the trucks that were going in and out of there. That was the alien base. Now, on the south side, on the southeast corner of I-70 and I-15, is a huge concentration camp, expected to hold any amount of people that it needs to do. I forgot how many, 10 square miles or something like that in there of razor, barbed wire. They're going to feed a lot of people one day to the aliens. Go put them on another planet or whatever. Now, the aliens say, "Stu, are you nuts?" No, these are fallen angels. And here's where it came back to. If you look at every time mankind in the book of Enoch and so forth, there's about 3 books. I think Joe's more professional on this than I am. But in the book of Enoch, it talks about they were doing what? Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe it said cloning. Now, we're cloning today. Hope, Arkansas. They've done over 10 million. Otis said, estimates, and others in the NSA, that the numbers are wrong, and they've got 20 million to 30 million cloned. Now, as he said, 6 out of 10 congressmen and senators are chipped, controlled by them. Opposition, New World Order, Satanism. Now, the alien connection all goes back to an agreement that the government made in 1952 to 2012, now extended alien agreement, that we were given Papoose Lake, Nevada, where the alien base is, where Ed Slade, my friend, the scientist, worked at with the aliens before he got saved. He was a Jew and got saved with Jesus. But the point was, and Joe can comment it, because there's a couple of tapes up there that are really good, and I need to put back up another one with Ed in it. Here's the point. He worked with them. He built toys for them. As an example, beyond belief, Stu, never tell anybody until after I'm dead what I told you. Okay, because he used to come over to my place when I was in Vegas before I left for almost 6 months, twice, three times a week, taking me out to lunch for $4. All I could eat. I'm like, cool. He could afford it. I couldn't. Here was the point. He says, oh, don't ever tell anybody. Okay. He fused together element 115, 116, 117, and 118, which is the polling the flying saucers are made out of, which is all top secret stuff, folks. Element chart, I think, goes to 105 or 7 or something, but it's actually 140-some-odd elements that are on the planet and was found through the Bible code. They're in there. They're in Psalms or Proverbs is where they found them. And they were out searching clear back in the 2000 time frame because they want all the other elements the aliens do, and they want the Christians to find it for them. So they used people like Al Neal, Bible code teacher, fake, Dunderson Crowell, infiltrator. Here's the point. Ed took these elements, fused them together, made a loaf of bread. He was sent to Mexico City at the pyramid down there, north of Mexico City. Went after some guy standing 7'6" tall, Nordic looking character. He knew it was one of the human type of fallen angels. He didn't know they were fallen angels, thought it was alien. You must be Ed. Oh, yeah, you must be. Oh, yeah. Did you make me what you were supposed to bring me? Oh, yeah, right here. He says, well, take it out there and set it down 50 yards. So he walks out 50 yards to here. Yeah, that'll work. He sets it down. He says, now come back here. I'll show you what you made me. He comes back and says, now look over here. And all of a sudden, he turned into a flying saucer. He goes, whoa, how'd you do that? He said, well, watch, Ed. He turns it back to a loaf of bread, sized piece of metal. It came in this bag he took down there to him. He said, now, Ed, you think it into a flying saucer. He says, I can't do that. Now, he says, close your eyes, start thinking. It turns into a flying saucer. And then Ed's thinking, and the guy starts saying, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. Ed. You're thinking the wrong way. Think this way. Think, Ed, now look what you made. And he took him out for a little joyride in outer space, brought him back, set him down. Now, that's a true story. That came from Ed Slade. They have that kind of technology. It's beyond belief what is out here. Our government, John Lear, my friend, who is a test pilot and a CI pilot for the government, he's been on a lot of shows. He made Art Bell famous. Him and the one that worked out there at Papoose, trying Lazar. To think of his name.
Yes. Lazar.
Thank you. Bob Lazar. Now, between the two of them, they revealed the same thing with all this technology way beyond. And John Lear, dad, sold Lear jets in 1952, took the government contract to build the flying saucers, until 1959. But he was outed about 56 or 7 because he started talking to people about what he was doing, a couple friends, and that got him outed in the program. But they built 150 flying saucers, folks. Where they parked at, there's a base north of Las Vegas. It's in S4, they call it. It's up on highway I-15 coming out of Las Vegas just before it hits Utah up there. The base is up in there. I've seen a couple saucers dropping in there.
Let me interrupt you right here. It'll help some people to understand what you're saying. If you go to Google Maps and put in Papoose Lake, Groom Lake, they've now lessened the thickness of the cloud that they had over the base, and you can see it for yourself. They'll let you look. Go ahead, Stu.
Okay. The technology that we have, and from what everybody's told me, because I've met a lot of people, and I'm lucky to be alive after all these years. It's God, and I know that. Now, we have 150 saucers. Trump recently said we have a new space army. Well, we've had it. If we've had it, and we had all this technology, where did it come from? Well, this alien agreement came from Roswell. We had a saucer crash. And it was a little alien, a little gray man looking thing. And it happens to be, that was an artificial suit he had on. It looked like he was real and he had skin and all the other stuff, supposedly. But Harry Rupp, my friend, who was a CI pilot, one of the three bankers for Daddy Bush, got thrown in jail, coughed up like most of the people that played the game, was a fabulous pilot. He defected to the OSS in World War II. He had been Adolf Hitler's personal pilot at 17 years of age. For 6 months, he wanted out of there. He came to America, defected OSS, and after they murdered Kennedy in December, him and all the others that came from into the OSS were legalized in America. He's written about the fraud in America. Now, Harry flew Daddy Bush to Papoose Lake, Nevada. The tunnel opens up. He pulls the jet in there. He's told not to cross the lines. If he does, he's toast with lasers. Daddy Bush gets in a little cart, whisked out of there by some dude. And Harry, of course, had the fans going, and he had the engine shut off. And they told him there's a cafeteria in the bathroom and all that. So he goes in the cafeteria looking around for something to eat, and it's all sandwiches and stuff and fresh stuff. And he's going, interesting. So he goes in and take a whiz, and he sees 22 to 24 aliens standing in detention in a row. He discovers it's pilot suits. It's the aliens' suits, because what are these? These are demons. They're invisible, so they need something to become visible. So he's touching it, realizing, wow, this feels like skin. It looks like a little alien, just like at Roswell. And he realizes, wow, that was Roswell. That's what he had on. Now, that was the first contact with the Americans. Prior to that, there was a German contact, wasn't there? Joel, would you explain that, please?
It's a little bit involved, but yes, Adolf Hitler did make contact with the aliens. The aliens made contact with him. Even Ed Slade said this. The guy that headed the secret programs for the Germans was Dr. Krommler, who later became General Krommler. And that is how the Nazis themselves built UFOs. The aliens gave them, they didn't reverse engineer, they just gave it to them, and they taught them how to fly. So from that point, there were like two other groups that developed anti-gravity machines. This is the Vril Society by the Vril ladies, and then one other group. But all of that developed by Krommler, and Krommler, by the way, came over and advised NASA and with some of the others, Divas and one other guy I can't think of, built up NASA. All of that stuff that was developed at Peenemünde went down to the Antarctic. And they went into a thing called Schwabenland, and that's where you hear the story of Byrd going down there with a fleet and being defeated and came back. So that'll give you another example that there has always been this alien element. So go ahead, Stu.
With Project as an example, we have a whole Earth, folks, whether people want to believe it or not. There is a sun in there. Because under Operation Blue Book, Otis Johnson showed me a document, and he wouldn't give me a copy of it, showed 1952 two U.S. Air Force jets follow flying saucers into the North Pole. Now, there used to be a video by the KGB of the North Pole being 60 kilometers or 60, 70 miles wide. They claim they flew in there, got the orders, taking orders in their jets, flew in there. The gazes went nuts. They fly in there following these saucers, and they see this huge river through there and a sun. And it looks like the Garden of Eden. They're freaking. Their gauges aren't working, and they're saying, let's get out of here. Boom, they turn around. They fly back out the same hole. That's Operation Blue Book, chasing saucers. Now, Admiral Byrd took his fleet into the South Pole, saw the same thing, came back, reported in secret, that later wrote the book, The Hollow Earth, how he chased flying saucers and the Nazi fleet into the South Pole. Now, I personally dealt with the guy for the CIA in Denver through a sheriff, brought me this guy who was in trouble because Daddy Bush was trying to steal what's called the Argo Tunnel in Denver, Colorado. Underneath Idaho Springs, Colorado, there's a huge cavern, folks. It runs from the Glory Hole Mine, it's called, in the north part, all the way down to Pikes Peak, which is NORAD, the hole, one of the holes. And they got tunnels every place. And there's saucers. They're called the Aurora Project, that the government has developed from the aliens. It flies 36 to 39,000 miles an hour. It's called the Blue Light Special. And you can see it coming from Center, Colorado. You can eye that on a porch and watched it myself going into the hole in behind Pike's Peak. A whole bunch of them came in, and probably a dozen at a time. You can see them skipping across their little Blue Light Special, they called it. They're going in the hole because that goes to the center of the earth. And the guy who was the keeper of the keys to that property was CIA. And he was intentionally put on there with someone else to be the president and the, et cetera, of the corporation, the controller for the government. They built the Western White House and the Western Capitol inside that building or that hole. They also built other buildings in there that were replicas of Washington, D.C. It goes to the center of the earth. It's the biggest hole. There's one down in Australia, Pine Gap.
Pine Gap.
Yeah, there's one there. It goes to the center of the earth. Now, people have to understand something. If our government, and Dick Cheney, by the way, at the Adams Smart Hotel in the Denver Tech Center, Dick Cheney was there most of the time in the presidential suite when he was missing out of Washington. And all he does is go on the elevator and he punches a code in, opens up the emergency thing like you're stuck in the elevator and you're going to punch a phone. He punches a code in. It takes him to the bottom floor, which goes to the tunnel. And then he does his eye recognition and his card and fingerprints, and he's through the gate and he's got a cart there going to Washington, D.C. number two. Now, all this alien intertwined stuff that I'm talking about aren't not aliens. As Otis Johnson sat and told me, and I said, Otis, or didn't, said, this is for they murdered him about 2 months before. I said, how many of them, of these so-called aliens, is this stupid? There's 200,000 of them registered with the NSA. 200,000 that possess human beings. Like your ex-father-in-law, whatever lived in him has lived for thousands of years, he said. Now it lives in Larry Mizell, one of the 12 disciples of Satan. But there's 200,000 of them that are possessed by aliens, the government calls them, that are registered with the NSA. And they cloned 10 million registered from Hope, Arkansas. These are cloned people, folks, since the 40s. The Nazis they brought over. Hope, Arkansas was the game. Now, no soul, no conscience, just like the guy that left Kansas City, goes down and gets programmed in the chair and goes down and blows everybody away because it says, oh, we're going to reclone you with your body parts and we're going to bring you back. Well, he went and did what he was told. He was cloned. Now, they have that kind of technology. There's 200,000 human beings on the planet possessed by aliens. Fallen angels is what I asked Otis. He says, Stu, I'm in agreement with you, but the government calls them aliens. They are fallen ones, and they've lived for thousands of years. Now, you go back to your Bible in Genesis. It talks about them in Genesis 6, mating with humans. It talks about them prior to that, Adam and Eve. And who was the first killer? He kills his brother. He was a fallen angel bloodline, Cain and Abel. Kills his brother, the first murderer. What was Eve doing in there in the Garden of Eden? Having sex with the devil, according to what the Bible basically says. That's where the first murder came. Why did we have the great flood? Why did we have others? That was to cleanse up the problem. But they're always in existence. We have them in controlling our government and our public officials. And they've got the toys. Now, one of the things I brought all this up on, because Paul wanted to get into it, the industrial complex. It's here and now, except they're coming down with the mark of the beast on everybody's head, which is the credit debit chip in you and a DNA changer. Why do they want to put that on you? The Bible says in Revelation, if you take that, you're not going to heaven. So you better think about where we're at in time frame. I've been preaching this crap now for, I think, pushing 37 years. And I tell you, it's not pleasant. And I've been watching nothing get any better than what we have it right now with the amount of people that are riled up. and we can make change. We need to be hitting the streets with signs. We need to be prayer warriors against these animals. Ask God to send in his warring angels against them. He'll do it. Pray for their salvation. If they don't come to salvation, take them off my planet, Lord. We need to be not only on the spiritual side of this, but we need to be out there with signs when we have the opportunity to wake up the frigate country. Now, Joel, Paul, either one of you want to add? I don't want to stay on here more than about 10 minutes, but add your comments.
Well, well done, Stu. That was a pretty good soliloquy there. That was a comprehensive. That was impressive, and I'm going to second you on the prayer warrior. And you and I, we've prayed together a number of times, and results always happen. So, boy, you get right with Jesus. You fast and pray. You overcome the flesh. You seek. You find. You follow. You serve. Have the Holy Spirit in you, you can conquer amazing things. And I'm personally very thankful for you and encouraged because I got two daughters. They're 23 and 21. And, you know, I want a better world for them. And the only way we're going to get any more time, any more quality time is by doing some of the things you're saying, and it all begins with prayer. I know that we're running short on time, and I do want to point out a couple of things. There is an episode on Omega Man. It's episode 7447 on Omega Man Radio. He's on SoundCloud. He's on about any platform people would want to go. Al Cuppett is the guest, and Al Cuppett is on for about an hour, and he starts with Philip. And Philip, as you may remember, was a powerful apostle, prayer warrior, and also knew what the gospel was. And he baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch, and then all of a sudden he is transliterated 50 miles away. During the show, Al Cuppett gives 5, maybe 8 examples in the last, I'll say 50 years, where people have been transliterated. You know, they are literally in one spot, and then God takes them and puts them somewhere else. And for the listeners, I think it's a good listen. Al Cuppett has been fighting the New World Order for longer, probably, Stu, than you and I have. And
I know Al. I talked to him years ago, but I dealt with him a couple, 3 times, yeah. He's a good guy.
The other thing I want to point out is what the listeners can't know is you and I and Joel, we have a friendship, and we talk about hundreds of things, and we can only cover a certain amount of things on the podcast. But I happen to know that you have some needs right now, and they're financial because you're trying to move, you're trying to cut costs, you're going to the food bank, you are where we're all headed. If anyone thinks that we aren't but a couple months behind you, I think we're in la-la land. And right now you could really use some financial help. And so I'm just putting it out there. I know it's hard for you to talk about, but it would sure be nice if we could generate some contributions your way. Obviously, even a $20 contribution is meaningful. So for the listeners out there, I've always appreciated how Stu was willing to come on and talk about things. And, you know, for a bunch of years, I was a freeloader, basically. I didn't come on the program. I talk, but it's so important that we do this because I know the listener needs to hear what we're saying. And repetition and so forth is necessary because the world is so full of deception. If you let your guard down, you get deceived. And so when Stu does this program or his three or two programs a week, we all benefit. But you're also running the website, and that website's under constant attack. I mean, sometimes you just amaze me, Stu. But what I'm trying to say is that if anyone out there feels led, is capable, Stu could use the help. He's got a PayPal button. It works. You put some money in, he can probably access it the next day if it's not on a weekend.
And I appreciate you asking and mentioning that. Yeah, I am. I got all the supplies, folks. My expenses will be reduced by half. I'm getting Section 8 for my broken neck and on disability. I haven't been paid by an insurance company yet. But the point is, I'll be able to survive after that. The food banks have been closed for the past 3 months, almost 4 months. And I finally found one that reopened. And thank God, you know, you don't get meat, you get a few cans. But I've used up most of my cans. God helped at the last minute, I think. Thank you. Anyway, yeah, I can use some help this month. And my server's screaming at me for $500 that I owe him. And I got to pay that on top. So if anybody can help, I appreciate it. And Joel, you got any last comments to round this thing up?
No, that's it.
All of you?
Hey, always great to touch base with both you guys, and let's do it again. I think we got to monitor what happens on the divide and conquer they're doing with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and all the Open Society MoveOn.org nonsense. And then we're really in this mask versus no mask, which is another divide and conquer. And Joel, you've mentioned it before. Donald Trump, I think, is a mysterious, but I would call him a mischievous president. And I would caution anyone against putting their faith in him or any man or men in general. Micah 7:5, also in Jeremiah and the Psalms. We are at the point now where trusting in men is probably not going to turn out real well. And it all starts with repentance and living fearlessly, faithfully. You know what? You need the power of prayer to do those things prayerfully, fearlessly, faithfully. Those things go together. You got to get in your Bible. You got to be a powerful believer. And I look forward to connecting with you guys soon. What can we even say about the 4th of July? I mean, anybody that puts out a flag, what are we celebrating here?
My vision, my dream. There was an overthrow on the 4th of July, 2020. Everybody was arrested who was a politician. That was a dream, folks, or a vision. I don't know. Well, I think you've said it all. You want to lead in prayer here?
Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us this opportunity, this blessing to communicate with Joel and Jim and Stu, and for the listeners that are able to hear what we're saying. We ask that you provide us with courage and wisdom to know what to do, what to say, what to pray for, and how to serve you. And we ask that you send your warring angels and bestow your Holy Spirit upon all of your listeners this weekend and beyond, so that we can serve you and know you. And we're claiming the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And by the power and the name and the blood of Jesus, we know that we can serve you and that you will answer our requests. In Jesus' name.
And I'm in agreement with him. Father, I ask for warring angels against the enemy in Washington, D.C., Father. I ask anybody that does not serve the American people and is not saved, Father, to send your angels, warring angels, in after him. Start slaughtering these people. Bring them to salvation. Drive them out of office, Father. That I would ask for. In your holy name and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, let it be. Now, Joe, we have a situation coming up. There's
okay,
a full moon.
Let me do this one thing for everybody to conclude this prayer. My prayer for everybody is going to be read from Hebrews 9:11-13. But when Christ appeared as a high great priest of the good things that have come, and through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with human hands, that is, not of this creation. In other words, Paul is talking about a temple of God in heaven. He entered once for all into the holy place, taking not the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled person with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of the heifer sanctifies for the generation of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In other words, Jesus took his blood, and placed it into the Holy of Holies, of which you can call upon to help you do your work. Amen.
Amen. Now, Joel, there's a bit of satanic worship always on full moons, and we've got a full moon and an eclipse. Explain to the people.
Oh, yes. That is a very important thing, and those of us that are the prayer warriors, this is where we do our work. All right. On July the 4th, there will be an eclipse, 8:07 p.m., and a full moon, 9:44 p.m. So you have a very powerful event this coming Saturday, and it is a spring equinox.
It's not the summer solstice, it's a spring equinox?
No, this is, now don't mix this up with the solstice. This
that
is an equinox. An equinox. It's the division of your four seasons. This is where you're concluding and coming to the end of the spring and the first gathering of fruits.
And this is on the 4th of July tomorrow, folks. That was separate when they gave out on that. So we need to be praying against this, because on full moons, they do their satanic worship. Kill the beast. Hillary Clinton, I guarantee you, will be eating the blood, drinking the blood of a child tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally. I mean, if you could find her, George Soros would be doing the same thing. Probably Bill Gates, the murderer, mass murderer, killed a million already with this poison shots. Let me drink the blood.
This is what they do to influence the ley lines, which then in turn influences you.
And one of the ley lines came right through where they do the summer solstice worship in Denver, Colorado, because of what? Probably the Argo Tunnel to deal with the ley lines. Now, explain it just a little bit. It's energy grids, Joel, isn't it?
They're telluric energy. It's an energy produced by the earth. And you have all of these ley lines. You have the very same thing called lines of meridian and acupressure points. The earth has the same thing. To give you an example, there are two settlements that are dedicated to Satanism, Rose Valley, Pennsylvania, and Arden, Delaware. And through that goes the Arcadian ley line. Those two little villages are put there that every solstice, they do their satanic sacrifice to influence the ley line, which in turn influences you.
Couldn't said it better. So we need to be praying. Oh, you got a last comment, Joel?
I am so blown away by the information that's being shared. It's so important. It's so critical. And thank you, guys. I feel blessed to be associated with you.
Well, I thank you for being on with me. And Joe, you got any last?
That's it.
Okay, thank you for being on as well. And I thank Jim Fetzer and the fact that it's Stu Webb, and it's July the 3rd, 2020. And I wish all of you a happy 4th of July. Oh, I wish my vision dream would come true tomorrow. With that said, have a good day.